This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers back for Tuesday, February 14th.
For Valentine's Day.
I love you guys. It's Love Day.
Is that what that is?
I think so. Isn't that? I believe Valentine's Day celebrates love.
Do you do the Valentine's Day festivities? Are you a festivitous man?
I have flowers on the way being delivered right now.
And, for yourself?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I love me some me.
Couldn't handle the pickup?
No. I'm at work. It's nicer when it's a surprise.
Well, happy Valentine's Day then to everybody out there.
Yeah.
I feel like, and I don't know if it's the same for you, but just, you know, turning on the microphones this morning, staring out at Deucer's Alley. I feel like I haven't recorded a show in 6 weeks.
Sure.
Because the last handful of days have been so filled with Super Bowl festivities out here in Arizona. We even had a Kevin Durant trade to Arizona, which...
Yes, we did.
You know, now that the football season's over, you will be annoyed by Mike's hats for the next several months.
Hey, my hats did not change throughout the earlier part. I don't even know. I was going to say preseason, but I guess
Did you make the shift to Suns hats right after the Kyler Murray first injury? Or
I made it before the Cardinals started the season, as they did not fail my expectations. They hit them.
Do you feel like, as a fan of a local sports market, you have a capacity for fandom that must be distributed among all of the teams? Like, or does it grow with the success of each team? So, like, can you give...
Like, do I jump further on the bandwagon?
Well, no, I just mean, like, I think Jason understands what I'm saying. Like, if you have a maximum amount
of... His face says no.
No, he doesn't. No. You've got a certain amount of fandom, and so, like, if the Cardinals are worse, do you move some of that fandom?
Oh, no, I see.
It can grow. It can certainly grow, yes. My fandom, I hope, 20 years from now, I am even a bigger fan than I am today. And I don't mean that physically.
But that's
probably going to happen.
That's a goal you can reach.
That's achievable.
But welcome in, one and all, the Foot Clan. It's been reflecting on the season, I mean, we're through it. And I know we'll make all the jokes, you know, we're already in 2023, and they're true. But worthwhile to take a few minutes and just say thanks for an incredible season, being along for the ride. It's been a lot of fun. Reflections on the Super Bowl, you know, it was
a great game.
It was an incredible game.
My voice is annihilated.
And I know that there's a million different angles we could discuss briefly as we reflect on that game, but is there any in particular you want to talk about? I mean, I will say this, I'm so impressed with Jalen Hurts's leadership, but it goes well beyond Jalen Hurts. Like, you understand why the Weagles, why the Eagles were
is that the new kids show?
Yeah, the Weagles. you understand why they were successful when you listen to like Jason Kelce, Hurts, Hassan Reddick, James Bradbury, all of those players in their post-game discussions with the media, which is maybe the hardest thing you can do as a player after a loss in the most important game of your life. They were just leadership material. They didn't blame the referees, didn't blame the field, took responsibility for Nick Sirianni as well. Just the fact that, look, it doesn't come down to one call, one play. Like, it's an accumulation throughout the game. Really impressed with both teams. Jalen Hurts about to get a big check.
Sure. I mean, I think the most interesting takeaway, I mean, sensational game, tons of scoring, really, really fun. But looking at, if you said Patrick Mahomes is 21 for 182, like, and they have 38 points, it was just off of what the defensive score. You had the Kadarius Toney, very timely punt return. So I mean, fantastic game overall, and I had no problems.
Yeah, there were no problems. Obviously, the big, you know, elephant in the room is, oh, the call at the end. What was the call at the end? And you've got everyone, you know, depending on where your biases lie, being like, oh, that was a hold. Oh, that wasn't a hold. And the truth, I think everyone knows the truth. I think Chiefs fans know the truth. Eagles fans know the truth.
Do we?
Yeah, it was a hold.
Yeah, James Bradbury came out and said, I held him.
Yeah, it was a hold. It was a hold. And you probably... Nobody wanted, other than Chiefs fans, nobody wanted that call called because it robbed us of what could have been an amazing ending that still probably ends up with the Chiefs winning. They would have been up three, and you would have had to march down the field. But, I mean, you could have got overtime, and it wasn't that big a call. Like it, so the reality was
this. This is ridiculous.
No. This is exactly the truth. The truth is it was a holding that could have been called. And at that point in that game, after such an amazing spectacle of points, we just were disappointed because it was like, dadgummit, we were about to have an amazing finish, and now it ends on a flag, basically, and that sucks. That's just the reality of the situation.
It's fair, but it sounds like the way that you're portraying it, it sounds like you're mad at the call, not the fact that there was a penalty.
Right, that's a
that was enforced correctly.
It sounds like that because that's exactly what I'm saying.
I think Jason nailed it in absolute perfection. That's exactly the truth. None of us wanted it to happen. We're mad it happened. We're mad that that's the way the Super Bowl ended.
And if I was the ref, so just to put me in there, and I saw that exact hold in that exact moment, that flag's not coming out of my pocket.
Which is saying that out loud is such a funny thing because it's like, if it's a hold, you know, you can go.
But if we're being honest, if we're being truly transparently honest, there's penalties every single play that aren't called nonstop. So, I mean,
they don't see. But I think if you were a referee and any particular play you saw jersey in a hand, we were at the game. I'm not sure what shots were being shown. Because there was a camera angle where you're like, there was literally no penalty there. And then there's the side camera angle where you go, oh, he fully pulled the guy's jersey. I think that's instinctual. If a ref sees jersey, the flag comes out. That's just what happens.
Yeah, and it compounds the joke and the storyline of the NFL script and all of that. And that becomes, I don't know if you saw the Chargers, masterful social media.
They're very good.
But, they walk out to the beach and they hold up the NFL script for the season. They throw it into the fire, like moving on to the next year. It was a heck of a game, heck of a performance by both quarterbacks. Great conclusion to the season. It should be said that Andy Reid is genuinely – Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy as a combination, masterful. In particular, the two touchdown – plays to Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, where if you go back and you look at the film of how they set the preceding play and both of those drives, they ran full motion across the formation. And then they watched this defense basically move, the corner becomes a safety, the safety slides over, and they just set it up. And it was just masterful coaching. You wonder why, they're always in this position. It's just a great job by that staff.
It was a full... They run the very successful play with Toney. And it's like you're playing Madden. You're like, ah, just flip that play.
Yeah.
And I'll run it to the other side. We'll see how it goes. And same results.
Yeah.
Do we have a trumpet? Is there a trumpet someplace? Can somebody hit a trumpet button?
I cannot.
But we can.
Yes.
The Ultimate Draft Kit is available for pre-sale right now. We talked about it going live Super Bowl Sunday. If you head over to ultimatedraftkit.com, this is the time to grab it. We know you're going to get it anyways. So go get it when you can have a bunch of perks, the lowest price, a chance to win a listener league spot to come play with us in 2023. That's for anybody that pre-orders by March 1st. You get $15 in gift cards. You get a free copy of our book. And the UDK Plus, there's stuff out right now. The Dynasty Pass is available.
Yeah, if you want our rookie rankings, our startup rankings, production profiles of the incoming rookies, you want free agent tracker, all sorts of stuff that is out there, the Dynasty Pass is available. So you could just pull that up right now and go to town.
And we're even adding some more functionality to it, working on some injury trackers and information from Matthew Betts. It's just fun to have something to review. We talked about the Super Bowl. Arizona did a good job, I think, in putting on a great show. Let's talk some more news.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, Derek Carr has extended his middle finger.
Yeah, I love it.
Yes.
And informed the Raiders that he will not be accepting a trade, not providing compensation to the Raiders, and forced them to release him. Now, I don't know if you guys realized how much money they're saving, but it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
To get rid of Carr right now?
To get rid of Carr. So I don't think they mind releasing him. The way the contract was structured, that monster deal, they're going to save a ton of money. I think it's like $120 million.
Yeah, I mean, this is why he didn't play at the end of last season, because if he had gotten injured in those weeks, then they would not be able to do what they are doing now. This move to cut him has to happen basically now before his contract tolls.
His dead cap is really very manageable. It's just 5.6.
So some credit to the way that they structured that deal. They knew that Derek Carr, if he succeeded, great. You got him. You got the contract. If he didn't, they can move on. Other news. I mean, we're going to talk about it until we don't have a reason to talk about it. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Is it heating up?
Well, right now, you know, the team has said they're going to franchise tag him. But that, it definitely seems like there is a cracked window for trade offers, where this team has made some comments about how much of a, I guess I'd say how much the quarterback contract of that magnitude hamstrings the team in other positions. I've seen rumors about 4 or 5 first rounders to acquire Lamar Jackson. And if you go to Baltimore, a team that really builds through the draft and is very fiscally disciplined, with 4 or 5 first rounders, I'm not sure they say no.
I mean, a 26-year-old MVP at the quarterback position, you would trade whatever you could trade to have Lamar Jackson added to your team. If you're another franchise that's been searching for a quarterback, that's not an easy thing to find. And I agree with you. It's difficult if you're the Ravens to say no to one of those deals that just says, I will give you my team, give me that player, and you have to pay attention, especially when the guaranteed money is really at an impasse where they don't want to fully guarantee Lamar Jackson's deal. Another team that, you know, is just desiring Lamar Jackson might be like, hey, we'll do whatever you want to have you here. In the end, I still firmly believe he will be a Baltimore Raven.
Yeah, it's definitely in the majority odds right now. And we just got breaking news. The Baltimore Ravens hired Todd Monken to be their offensive coordinator.
Okay. I mean, he's interesting. You know, we had the very fantasy friendly years in Tampa Bay with Monk in there, with Jameis Winston airing the ball down the field. So, I mean, you know, that's at least fascinating.
Yeah, and he was the Georgia OC.
It's no Greg Olson.
Well, no one is. No one has the pedigree of Greg Olson. But what other news do we have? Shane Steichen.
Yep.
New head coach for the Indianapolis Colts. They concluded their round of 622 interviews and selected Shane Steichen as their new head coach.
And that leaves one team left without a head coach. Our Arizona Cardinals.
I do have great news, boys.
Oh, that's good.
With the hiring that the Colts made, their other candidate is available. Jeffrey Saturday. We can pick him up. Pick him up. No?
No. I waited that time. Well, the good news is at this point, the Cardinals cannot have a head coach stolen from them. Any of their remaining candidates cannot be poached by an NFL franchise.
And so they're going to take a couple months to just really figure it out, dive deep. It looks like it's a two-man race, both defensive coordinators. So you presume
that would be the Bengals' DC Lou Anarumo.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon. So yeah. Jeff Saturday's not currently in the mix.
That's too bad. So, but, so Sweet Lou or the bad guy from The Legend of Zelda?
Oh, Gannon. Okay. All right.
We can work with this.
Yeah, I mean, this is all we got, so.
But it is funny because, you know, you've got Kyler Murray. That's the heart of the Arizona Cardinals. For fantasy purposes, that's where we want to know not who the head coach is necessarily, but who's the offensive mind that is going to run this system.
Yep.
And that will be now the more interesting thing for fantasy purposes is not which one of these guys do they bring in as the head coach, but who are they going to bring in as the offensive coordinator under them? Could it be Greg Roman, Lamar Jackson's offensive coordinator who, you know, left? He's up for a couple other OC jobs right now. He's got experience with a mobile rushing quarterback in an MVP season. That fit seems to make sense. I have not heard any rumors to that degree yet. I think it's head coach first, which will never happen.
It wasn't. I mean, maybe not the most desirable job between the Kyler injury recovery, right? So your first impression on this team is probably not with Kyler Murray as your quarterback.
Correct. And the ownership structure is not one that seems to be the most appealing in the league.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw. You see the early power rankings?
It came out
yesterday.
Oh, where were the Cardinals?
31.
Nice, not last.
Go Suns. All right, we are moving on into the mailbag.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Well, this is a good question. Valentine's Day special question for the mailbag.
Oh.
Do you guys have an early fantasy crush for the 2023 season? And I had not seen this question, and I feel like the best way to answer it is what player pops into your head when you think that, and I had one pop into my head.
Well, I've got one.
I had three that immediately popped in.
Oh, of course.
No,
I'm
just trying to. So should
He's
I?
He's Valentine's polygamist over here.
That's right. I mean,
get it together.
Got a lot to love. All right, you go first, Andy.
Garrett Wilson.
Oh,
Garrett Wilson is my early fantasy Valentine.
I will hop in then because mine is a fellow teammate, a fellow rookie. It's Breece Hall. I'm not worried about the injury. I will be absolutely in on Breece Hall this coming season.
Already was your Valentine, but whatever.
This is true. I'm in full rookie mode, so it's looking at these guys. And no, I mean Bijan's that's the easy one, but it is Mr. Charbonnet.
Yeah, man.
Out of UCLA, Zach Charbonnet. I was bummed he didn't come out last year, and totally forgot about him. After scouting him, and then re-fell in love because he when you're a big running back that catches the ball,
you get
my attention.
You get
really
Mike going,
quick, whether it works or not. But as of right now, he is. I'm very interested to see what happens to him in the draft.
I love when we all scout these players independently,
right.
And then we wait. A lot of times we'll like a guy and we'll wait to. You know, have you looked at this guy? Okay, I don't want to influence you or whatever, and we wait until afterwards. But I do love over the last few years when there is a running back that both of us independently fall in love with, and that's the same guy. If you go past those top two, Charbonnet is going to be great. Come on, some
yes.
team draft him high, please.
Well, there is this. I think Daniel Jeremiah came out earlier this morning and talked about his review of the running back rookies, which obviously the offseason will be filled with our analysis of those players and where they're going to go. That's what the Dynasty Pass is all about. But he basically said, like, the depth at the running back position this year is it's really good, and that could actually work against Bijan, because mm-hmm. teams looking at that valuable first-round pick, early second-round pick, could find somebody that they like in a Jahmyr Gibbs, Charbonnet, some of these other running back options.
Even much deeper. I mean, you have guys like I've gotten some guff for my ranking of Sean Tucker because he's like my seventh or eighth running back. I don't remember off the top of my head. And that looks awful, but it's a strong class. I like Sean Tucker. Like I think he's a good running back, could do great things. That's, you know, you have to order everybody. It's just I like several players this year. So this is one of the rare seasons where I think running backs that are drafted after day two, I will care a little bit more about, because with so many running backs, like you said, teams are going to be able to wait on them a little bit, grab someone that they believe probably more than a day two pick, but they'll get them on day three.
Yeah. Yeah. Miller, Evans, even Achane may go late, but is so sure. explosive. Could have one of those complimentary roles right away. It should be fun. All right, Instagram question by Aaron Crawford. What part of your Super Bowl experience were you surprised by? Shout out to Spotify, Max Cutler and the team
mm-hmm.
for making it happen. Jason and I had not been to a Super Bowl before. Mike wish he had not been to a Super Bowl before, as he had gone to the 09 defeat of the Arizona Cardinals.
Fair.
But was there a part that you were especially surprised by?
Do you have yours?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the experience itself, the Super Bowl experience, the thing that surprised me, we were allowed into some absurd VIP tent area.
We were bougie boys.
Oh, we were bougie. But that place was the most surprising. I mean, really, really cool to just be able to hang before the Super Bowl in a place with Tomahawk steaks, you know?
Sure. I'll jump in.
If Tomahawk steaks are a part of a story, they're going to be Jason's favorite part of said story.
I still haven't watched the television version of Rihanna's halftime. I don't know if you could truly see how vertical she was in the air, and I mean, and I'm announcing the pregnancy, but just like I was watching almost the whole show with my hands on my face, because every time that riser started to go back up, I'm like, no, oh no, this thing was like had to be 70 plus feet in the air. It was a boss move. I would have been just diarrhea down my leg.
Mike was sweating.
Yes,
for Rihanna,
it was. Dude, she was so high up in the air.
It's like he took his kids to the Grand Canyon or something, and he was worried.
And it was like not holding something.
Yeah,
he's still strapped in.
She's safe. She made it through.
I know, but it was amazing.
I don't know if you do. No, it was just.
Did you see the? I didn't see this until last night. There was one of the dancers up on those platforms that almost fell off.
Oh no!
He slipped.
No.
He slipped. I'll have
those
to find
dancers
it and post
weren't
it.
Tight end. They only tight end Rihanna.
I think they were tight end, but okay. He still fell down.
He would have been hanging.
Fell towards the back. It was like, whoa, Mike. I mean, there's so much going on.
Those platforms were not stable. They were very shaky.
Yeah.
It did. Having been there and watched the amount of human beings and, you know, platforms and things that they rolled out, it was not surprising to me that the field wasn't 100. although I did see some clips of the field. Everyone was asking us that because we were down on the field afterwards. They were like, you know, making the jokes about how slippery it was. It wasn't in good shape at all. I mean, if you watch the Eagles, that kickoff turned his ankle, slipped right on the field. Like, it was moving and shaking. People had to change their cleats, but both teams had to play on it, and mm-hmm. we move forward. All right, quick break, back with some more questions.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, You leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right, moving on. Twitter question from Matt says, Kadarius Toney, is he going to sink or save next season?
Neither.
That's my opinion, too. Neither. He will be he'll be a role player.
Yeah, I mean, we have to see what they do with their ability to bring in another wide receiver. I doubt they bring Juju Smith-Schuster back.
He was a one-year contract player
who just won a Super Bowl, got paid both for winning a Super Bowl as a bonus and also the fact that he's going to be maybe the biggest name in free agency this cycle. So I expect they lose him, and they're going to need to bring someone else in, whether that's through the draft or free agency or trade. But if they do not do that, I will be in on Kadarius Toney. He's shown enough in the tiniest of small flashes where I would bet on him more than I would bet on Sky Moore.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. There's some names. I mean, we talked about Keenan Allen. Now the Chargers say they want to keep him. But if Keenan Allen was out there, that's just one of those things that you roll your eyes in the back of your head as a perfect, you know, a perfect fit for Patrick Mahomes. Jacoby Myers is a good player too. I doubt that they hit the top of the free agent market though.
Yeah, it really seems like they don't need to. I mean, call me crazy, but they just got rid of Tyreek Hill and won a Super Bowl. So I think their current setup of just like, let's just have a bunch of guys on the field and we'll just have Patrick Mahomes figure it out.
I mean, when you look at vacated targets, which is something we have in the UDK Plus, the team opportunity pages, it's not a big deal what they're losing. You know, 16% to Juju. He was, you know, I think none of us would say that he really was needed to dominate any game. He some games it was him, some games it was someone else. Mecole Hardman injured all year. Justin Watson. But it's not like a massive amount of targets are leaving. Like if Sky Moore can take a step up, and Tony can.
Big question.
Yeah, and Tony can. Then you don't need to add a huge name.
I mean, I think that's taking just too much credit away from Juju. Like the fact that during the season when he was called upon to be a focal part of the offense, he did come through. I mean, he had at least a handful of really big games, and the reason they're okay is because of Travis Kelce. Like,
yes,
they will need to restock at some skill players sooner than later.
He will live forever.
I was going to say Zeus doesn't age. That's something that I forgot about at the beginning of this season when I thought 33-year-old Travis Kelce.
The guy's an immortal.
I thought he was a human being. That was my bad.
The big key for Travis Kelce is the delusion that people didn't think that they could win. That will be a motivating factor. Give Travis Kelce the smallest morsel of thought that people doubt the Chiefs, and you're good. I mean, he went to that well over and over again.
Yes, he did.
You didn't believe in us.
Yep.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, you're the Chiefs.
You've seen your quarterback before?
Nobody really doubted you could do this, but if he believes it.
I know.
Odds were the Eagles, right?
They weren't. Yes. They weren't. But, I mean, before the season and stuff, like, there was a little doubt with Tyreek leaving. That hurt their initial odds. But they're still up there because it's Patrick Mahomes. So, and they're the favorites for next season already. All right, let's go ahead and move forward. Cody has a question here. In a Dynasty Superflex, would you rather have Stephon Diggs or Devonta Smith?
Ooh.
I know my answer.
So Stephon Diggs is 29. He is under contract for quite a while. Devonta Smith, 24, entering year 3. So, I mean, his situation is still figured out. The Eagles have, you know, up to 5 years because he was a first-round pick. Should they choose to go that direction and not extend him next year? I think the question is, what do you believe for Stephon Diggs of how many elite years of production does he have left?
Two more elite years.
I think that's a good bar. So it is 2 years of elite Stephon Diggs greater than Devonta Smith, who looks like he could turn into an elite player. He's,
for me, yes.
It was a great year. Smith is certainly not in the elite category yet.
This question is one of the kind of linchpins of Dynasty Fantasy Football in a nutshell. There is my initial reaction is I really, really want Devonta Smith on my team.
Sure.
And that opinion doesn't change just because I'm choosing Diggs in this question. Like, I'd love to have Devonta Smith on my team, but I will go with Diggs because I would like the elite production for 2 years.
Yeah, it's a very, very close call.
1,207. That's what Devonta Smith was.
And it really depends on what you believe the peak of these 2 years for Stephon Diggs is going to be. Is it going to be back to, even better heights than this current year, or another repeat of this current year and a downplaying as he gets a little bit older? So I have Devonta Smith one spot ahead of Stephon Diggs. If I was in a dynasty startup and I wanted to draft those two players, I think the 5-year age gap, the future that could be just as bright as Smith, the talent, I believe.
I do not blame you for taking Smith. I mean, they're so similar in target share, consistency rating. Diggs puts up a slightly higher percentage of good games by our truth metrics.
The age gap. There are a handful of 29-year-old wide receivers where you have to decide how bad do you want them. I'll give you three names. And they're all in the same situation. It's Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs. Those three guys are 29 years old, and they're awesome. They could all be the number one wide receiver this coming year. They're all worthy of drafting, and really this is a matter of – so I have Devonta Smith not ahead of all of them. I actually go
– probably Tyreek at the top?
I have Cooper Kupp at the top, okay. Tyreek second, Devonta Smith, and then Diggs. This isn't an anti any of those guys, but it's a matter of what do you believe the ceiling of those 2 years is. I think that Tyreek's and Cooper Kupp's is higher than what I can get for 2 or 3 years of that ceiling from Diggs, and that's where I slot in Devonta Smith.
Mike, Instagram question here for you. Does the Super Bowl touch count hint at a bigger role for Kenny Gainwell moving forward?
It was interesting.
Same amount of attempts as Miles Sanders.
Right. And then he had the 4 targets and 4 receptions. And Gainwell had a really strong postseason. But I think that no matter what, they will add somebody. Miles Sanders, does it come back or not? I don't know. I mean, after the playoff, entering the playoffs, I would have thought Miles Sanders would have come back in an okay-sized contract. Are you guys still...
I don't think he comes back.
I feel like I've changed over the course of the playoffs.
We just talked earlier this episode about the depth of the running back position in this draft class. The Eagles have a lot of capital. I think they grabbed a mid-round guy who's going to thrive in this system. They don't need a superstar at running back. So you've also got Boston Scott, who's a free agent. Kenny Gainwell will probably... I think it's fair to see a path where he's the primary number one guy going into next year. The Super Bowl gave great, indication that they can thrive with him in that role. So
when they lost.
Well, when they put up 35 points and had a lot of success offensively.
Yeah, but the running backs didn't do anything.
Correct.
That's actually what the problem was. It was 7 for 21, 7 for 16 for the two guys. But I agree. I agree in principle with how Gainwell performed over the back half of the year that there's a decent chance he's the main guy. I think Miles Sanders is the Juju of the Eagles situation where, you know, would it be nice to have Juju back? Yeah. Would it be nice to have Sanders back? Yeah. Will they probably get paid by somebody else? Sure. And if you give those touches with that offensive line to somebody not named Miles Sanders, they'll probably have success.
Mm-hmm.
And if Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback of insert name here, probably going to do okay. So, Gainwell, Mike, I threw it to you because I know you are a fan of Kenny Gainwell and watching him play football.
Yeah, it was great to see. He was one of those, like, in the pre-draft area. I loved Gainwell, and then he fell in the NFL draft, so you knew it's going to be a while before he can rise to some fantasy relevance. Perhaps he has earned that. I don't think he can be a superstar for fantasy purposes, but he's a name that, like, in this offseason of trading, if you want to take the gamble that the Eagles take a lesser player and that Gainwell's in charge, I don't mind making that trade offer right now.
All right, a couple of off-season questions coming in from the Foot Clan here. Instagram, Harrison Mike wants to know, what's your favorite part of the off-season?
Oh, sleeping in.
We may or may not. Well, it's ironic because today we're recording and releasing the show.
Yeah.
But ordinarily in the off-season, it's the only opportunity we have to record the day before as opposed to getting up early. Mike is such a morning person.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to miss it.
Say it by sleeping in, I mean.
To 7?
7 or 7:30-ish instead of 6.
That's right. Jason, do you have a favorite part of the offseason?
Yeah, I think it's scouting the new rookies and looking at the new class coming in. I really enjoy the change up and that process.
For me, it's probably free agency. I just, the excitement around free agency, the jerseys swapping all over the league. Very excited about that. And then the follow-up question was, what do you do in the offseason?
Sleep in.
And then how about the deucers? We send the deucers out kind of Oregon Trail style to collect rations for the next season.
Yes.
So they're gone for, I think, 6 to 8 weeks on their journey, collecting, gathering, yeah. And then they'll come back and they'll plant and it's harvest.
You have to prepare. You have to prepare for the seasons.
Yeah, and if there's...
Yeah, be the ant, not the grasshopper.
If there's a group that you can associate with dysentery, it is these three.
Yeah, there's a reason.
And they're nodding because they know it.
Deucer's Alley.
Good call.
And tough crew over there.
Yeah.
They make it through.
As far as what we do in the offseason, it's pretty ironic. We only have, through the majority of the offseason, we only have 2 shows a week. But a lot of times these shows take far more work than the in-season. In-season content, we're talking about so much that's going on.
Yeah, NFL script provides that.
Yeah, I mean, we just get the script from the NFL talking about what this what game's going to happen, what game already happened. But through the offseason, you know, we've got to prepare far more original content. And so it's just more work behind the scenes, less work on the show.
Yeah, and it's not 2 shows a week either. We got the footcast for the listeners, so if you want an extra episode every week, check out jointhefoot.com. Check out the Spitballers, our comedy podcast, which is, you say, what do we do in the offseason? That moment of reprieve every week is the Spitballers podcast. And the UDK, I mean, we'll be working on that until its full release in June. We're going to travel a little bit. Jason and I are heading out of town for the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association conference this week. And then, yeah, sleeping in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's good.
Not too bad. Not too bad. All right. Man, I didn't even want to ask this question, but I will. Twitter question from.
I know the question.
TJ Mills. Is there any reason to hold on to Allen Robinson or Kenny Golladay in a dynasty league?
I've already said
I want to move the Kenny G drop.
To Gainwell?
Kenny Gainwell. Can I get approval for that?
The good drop, absolutely.
Well, I mean, if you hit it right now, it's going to be old Kenny G.
Well, we'll remember him.
That posture that he had with the saxophone. We should have known something bad was going to happen.
What a waste to make that drop with him in a Giants uniform. Is there any reason to hold on to them? I mean,
not Kenny Golladay.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they're both 29 years old.
It's all who you're going to replace it with. Allen Robinson, I'm definitely not going to drop. Because he's still on the Rams. The Rams season, they need to flush that thing down the toilet, come back next year. Not saying I have tremendous hope for Robinson, but they will be back and make another go at it. Kenny Golladay, I mean, I would much rather.
That career is over.
I would stash. I'd stash one of the garbage.
Anyone.
I'd stash one of the garbage tight ends over Kenny Golladay.
Absolutely.
I guess.
Noah Gray or Kenny Golladay?
No, Noah Gray. You can name any name. There's no reason
Voldemort.
Voldemort. Yeah. I mean, and I'm not talking about.
No, you're not talking about.
I'm talking about the actual
wizard.
Voldemort. Not a nickname for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
He's not even eligible to play.
He is not, I can't pick him up. I will drop Kenny Golladay and replace him with nothing.
Yeah.
I will just have an empty roster spot. He's a locker room cancer on your
fantasy team.
On your fantasy teams. I mean, the guy played the majority of the season this year, and it doesn't feel like it because he had, let me count them, 6 receptions.
Oh, my gosh.
He played in the vast majority of games and had 6 receptions.
Well, he got buried on that depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, when you got guys like Richie James,
Hodgins.
How are you supposed to get on the field?
The funny thing is they're in the market for, you know, a trade deadline wide receiver, and they're sitting there with Kenny Golladay, the $100 million man. I have a question for you for the mailbag. Give me the level reset that fantasy players should have for Kyle Pitts. He's one of 4 tight ends under the age of 25, I think, that has had a 22% or higher target share in their first 2 years. Jimmy Graham was one of them. I can't remember the other two, but they're big, big names, historical names. What is the appropriate non-Andy reaction to Kyle Pitts that you should take heading into the offseason? Jason, I overheard you yesterday talk about getting him in the 7th round of a best ball draft. The target share has been great. The quarterback play hasn't. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice from my perspective because I wasn't in on Pitts. I had virtually no shares. I think I had him in like one of my 30-plus best ball rosters. So I didn't feel any burns. And I think having not felt those, you can have a level head of saying this is still a freakish athlete who you brought up the target share. Obviously, the targets were poor. They were coming from a bad quarterback situation. We don't know what the quarterback situation is going forward.
Arthur Blank, very excited for Desmond Ridder.
Yay.
That's the info that we have.
Regardless of how it moves forward, it's going to move forward poorly. We know that the quarterback, whatever quarterback is going to be there, I really doubt that it is awesome.
Derek Carr?
Yeah, I was going to say, if a Derek Carr or a Jimmy Garoppolo go there, that's good news for the target shares being able to turn into yards and catches, which is pretty important for fantasy football. But I will say this. There are the vast majority of tight ends, historically, they don't do much in the first couple years of their career. So I'm not throwing I'm not throwing Kyle Pitts out because of a really disappointing first 2 years. And if he falls in drafts the way that he did in this last draft I was in, I got him in the 7th round as the 6th tight end off the board. That's where I'll absolutely take a shot on him. I am not going to fall victim to the trap of this is going to be the year he's so talented that I'm going to draft him with the baked in upside of him already doing it.
Like you bet it all.
Yeah. I'm not doing that again, but if he drops to a good place, he's worth the risk.
Last year, had he continued the season, his pace was just 47 receptions on 100 targets for 603.
That's impossibly bad.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. The previous year, obviously, his rookie season was much better. He was around 70 for 1,000, but just the one touchdown. So, it's going to be a ride that I think will eventually pay off, but everybody might have been off of it by then. So the ticket prices will be low. Still just 22 years old, which is younger than Dalton Kincaid, kind of the consensus number 2 tight end in the upcoming draft. So, which is a first-round mock draft type of guy, Dalton Kincaid. By the way, some news that came through, off-season mode from Dalton Kincaid to Dalvin Cook underwent shoulder surgery again. He's had shoulder injuries in 2014, 16, 19, 21, and then this year he's had an injury.
These trends continue.
But he didn't miss any time last year wearing the device, and he will be 100% healthy going into next year. But he did have shoulder surgery, which seems like maybe he's on a subscription plan for that, which I don't know if he could do.
Well, it's early in the year. You got to hit that deductible.
Yeah, smart.
This is the time, Dalvin.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the show. Back with a rookie review on Thursday and a special announcement you will not want to miss. Something a little special going on Thursday. So definitely tune in and check out the UDK. Get a chance to hop into the Dynasty Pass. Get your shot at the Listener League. Go over to ultimatedraftkit.com and get ready for 2023. For Andy, Mike, and the Tomahawk Steak, farewell. We'll be back soon. Take care.
See ya. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Oh, hey, you're still there. This is Andy. How you doing? Why don't you take a second, head over to jointhefoot.com. Consider supporting our independent podcast. You get exclusive access to bonus episodes of the show every week. You get access to a community of 30,000-plus like-minded fantasy football players, and you get access to special tools. They help you win every week. You can learn more about our community at jointhefoot.com.